So, Brian, I have a very important question for you. Do you think you will ever hit Pirate Legend?
No.
Welcome to Land Ho, a Sea of Thieves podcast. I am your host, Michael, and joining me, as always, is Brian. What's up, Brian?
How's it going, Michael? Glad to be back.
Yeah, it was a little hiatus. We're really sorry that we missed last week. We kind of, Rare teased this big announcement. We figured it was maybe going to be. We usually release our episodes first thing Tuesday morning, and we thought maybe if we wait till like Wednesday, by Thursday at least, they would have announced it. But it wasn't until Friday afternoon, our time, that they released their new Inside Story number 26 and the content roadmap, quote unquote. So we kind of, didn't really have time last week, but we're going to be back on the normal weekly cadence. So rest assured, we will be here for your Sea of Thieves needs. So what an exciting Friday. We got a lot of info, but yet not a lot at the same time. And we're so in this episode, we're going to kind of go quickly through the rundown of kind of the outline of what the rest of the year is going to look like, and then we're going to kind of break down the first major events. So let's start with April, which is the current month. And I like what they said. They kind of touched over this just very briefly. It was in the notes, but they're going to just address those top feedback points, I think, just based off like peer performance and stuff like that. And then May is going to be the first major content update known as Hungering Deep. And then during the summer, we're going to have two more content updates, Cursed Sails and Forsaken Shores. And then the fall winter, we're going to have three more content updates. And we don't have names for those three yet. But basically, every month but two for the rest of the year, we're going to have a major content update. I think that's pretty exciting.
It's definitely exciting. I wanted this. You wanted this. We talked about it a lot. But it's kind of a little overwhelming. Six, what is that? Six new content updates throughout the rest of the year. It's kind of a lot, but I mean, Rare's on the right path with that. Although they haven't given too much detail on all of them aside from the May and the two coming out in the summer. But I'm definitely excited and looking forward to everything that they have in store for us.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't know if they want to like, ruin the surprise of everything, but I think they gave a lot more info than most people expected, which is really cool.
Definitely. Seems like they were kind of overcompensating for the lack of info and the failed legendary pirate at the beginning. But I mean, that's good that they have some stuff that they're working on and they're willing to let everybody know their plans for the rest of the year instead of just like a 3 to 6 month out type of roadmap.
Yeah, and we're gonna break down at least the first three major events. But before we kind of jump into the main meat of this, the key themes that obviously they want to keep focusing on is bringing players together in interesting ways, just giving players new ways to play, new goals, new rewards, broadening the journey to Pirate Legend. So, just a variety, basically a variety of things that you can do that's on top of the base game. And what we didn't mention yet is that between these content updates, there are going to be weekly live events with unique rewards, I think unique missions and stuff like that. I don't know if it's going to be every week, but that's kind of what it seemed like to me.
In the Insider episode, they kind of mentioned this new way to play. That was one of the things that they hit on a lot. And we don't really know what that means, but I think that Rare has, from the past 3 weeks since launch, they've seen and understood that the grind of Pirate Legend is kind of unreasonable right now. And so with everything that they're planning, the weekly events and new mechanics and new AI and all the things that they have in store, I think it's going to make it easier and more fun for everybody to keep playing and to want to play and to get to Pirate Legend status. Because I think at the end of all this, potentially in the fall, winter months, or even beyond that, once people start getting to Pirate Legend is going to be worth it at that point. And so right now it's so hard to get there, but with all these weekly events, I think it's going to make the game a lot more enjoyable and the grind it's going to lessen the load a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll just make it a lot more of a, you know, I mean, obviously I have a lot of fun logging into the game with what the game is right now, but I think, who knows, maybe another month of playing, maybe I kind of just get a little bit tired of the same stuff. So I think it'll be really cool for the, like, if the journey to Pirate Legend takes like a really long time, which it seems like it will, that's totally cool as long as they like freshen it up with these live weekly events. I think it's really exciting, and I don't think people are going to mind how long it takes to get to Pirate Legend. It's going to be way more fun to get there, which I think is really cool since it will take a long time to get there.
Yeah, and I think we're at the point right now, you're in like the mid-20s in the reputation. I'm a little bit behind you. I haven't played as much. But I think we're starting to get to the point where we're seeing that the voyages, like logging in for a few hours, it's already starting to not provide the same amount of reputation, and leveling up is kind of coming to a pretty quick halt. So all the things that they're doing to freshen it up is definitely welcome. And I'm looking forward to all the weekly events that they have in store.
Right. And kind of jumping into, so April, they indicated as just being like the main feedback points. And I think that's mainly just like, just the basics, right? Like servers, loading in with both of your weapons, which I think you even today experienced not having one of your weapons being able to use, just like things like that. And like, we've seen just like watching other people play on Twitch and such, like they're also having a lot of issues just like with skeleton spawning and just like really basic things that should be working in the game. So I think it's cool that like they're still focusing on those main core mechanics, because once that's all settled and we're not seeing any issues like that, then we can really focus on the new content, and hopefully that won't, you know, break either, I guess. And I think also another thing they should focus on in April, like I don't really know what the system, I'm sure there is a system in place, but just how the rewards that you get don't really necessarily scale with level, right? Like you're not getting more captain's chests when you're like, let's say in the 30s and the 40s. It seems like it's sort of like the same combination as if you're in the, you know, single digits levels, things like that. I don't know if you agree, Brian, but I think that those are some of the things that maybe they can improve.
I think they can definitely improve those. But I think that even if they were to not improve those, they could mitigate it in other ways and in other areas with the weekly events and with the new mechanics and everything. If they implement a system where in a weekly event you get golden reputation that way, then it, because right now there's only three ways to earn golden reputation, but if they added 3 to 5 more ways to do that, and those through the weekly events, and those are constantly changing, then it's not going to be as big a deal when you have a level 40 gold hoarder voyage and you end up with a seafarer's chest. It's still going to suck, but to be able to have the chance to earn gold in another way, I think it's going to make a lot of players happy.
Totally. I can get behind that. I think that's pretty well said. And so that's April. That's the current month. And May, which I think before they said June was going to be the first major update, but it looks like now May will be the first major content update, known as Hungering Deep. Super excited. That's literally next month, which is incredible. The game literally just came out not even a month ago yet, so I think that's really exciting to hear about. And so just some of the details, and we can kind of go through each of them. New AI threat to the world that crews potentially, as they alluded to, will have to work together to discover and defeat this threat as part of a unique event. New mechanics to assist players, unique rewards part of the event, and weekly programs that will start in May, such as like a hidden treasure event, exclusive rewards during timed events, and some skeleton thrones that you'll like kind of discover and come across as you're kind of exploring the islands and such. So what do you think you're most interested in that first update?
I'm definitely most excited for the weekly events, that those will make the game fresh every week and give me, along with a lot of other players, a reason to log in every week, because there's something new that we can do, and there's probably cosmetics that are tied to specific events that will be only around for 1 week. So I'm looking forward to those. They mentioned this Hidden Treasures event, which is could be sort of like a new NPC in the world that has lost treasure or lost an artifact that you now have to go and discover, and you have to find it. Maybe they send you on a sort of treasure hunt, a modified Gold Hoarder voyage, I guess, to find these things. So it's still kind of maintaining the same mechanics as the Gold Hoarders, or it's like the fetch quest. But it's like a new spin on it, and that's something I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to the Skeleton Thrones event, which we don't have much information on it, but what I understand from it is it's kind of like Skeleton Thrones will be scattered throughout the islands. So that when you're on an island exploring, first of all, you're going to have a reason to explore islands, but you might see something up on a ledge, a Skeleton Throne. If you're looking for something else, you might just come across it and you'll have to figure out a way to get to this throne and I guess sit on it to activate it or whatever happens with that. But I like the idea of having these little things scattered throughout the world that don't necessarily tie to any merchant or any faction. They're just kind of there, and it's just kind of an extra thing that you can do, kind of sort of like an in-game collectible that you can do as you're playing the game.
Yeah, I think that's all super exciting, and I agree with that. I think just anything that freshens it up and really gets you super, you know, especially excited each week to see like what unique rewards you can get, what unique events. And what's really cool, as they also mentioned, a general theme across the entire roadmap is new mechanics, like new events, like things like that, that will just be a part of the world after that. It's not like things go away. You know, I'm not sure about rewards, but like just the new mechanics and just the core gameplay and like maybe the special NPC, things like that, that's all going to be staying in the game. And what they said is like it's more exciting to introduce things week by week in the world rather than just like in the patch notes. It's like in the world and you just like discover new things, and it's like there might not be instructions on how to do it like at the beginning of the game, but I think that's really cool, just things to discover each week, logging in, seeing something new, and not necessarily knowing what it's all about unless you figure it out for yourself, which I think is really exciting. I'm personally really excited for like just something to freshen it up each week. And I think I think a problem that we've discussed also is for a game that's progression based on cosmetics basically alone, or like, you know, Pirate Legend, there really needs to be more cosmetics in the game. And I think this is going to be an excellent way to slowly each week, you know, adding to each store, which is something a lot of people have mentioned. And I think this is going to be a perfect way of updating the stores, cosmetics, items each week.
I agree. It's an interesting way to introduce the new content with each update. But I definitely like the idea that they're going to slowly trickle everything in. They're not just going to throw everything in at once and overwhelm everyone. They're going to slowly introduce us to each new mechanic, new event. And one thing I'm kind of looking forward to is more of like a co-op experience with other crews. Because right now, if I see another ship, I'm either running away from them because I have things on board that I need to sell, or I'm going to go attack them because I just offloaded a bunch of stuff and I have nothing to lose. And I might want to just have that PvP experience. But a new mechanic could be where a couple different crews have to work together and everybody shares the rewards at the end. It's not going to be people work together and then it's a free-for-all. Whoever survives gets the loot. I think with a new enemy, sort of like the Kraken, but maybe on a bigger scale, they could have people coming together to defeat this thing, some new enemy, and then everybody shares in those rewards. So that's one mechanic that I'm really looking forward to. And even though they were kind of vague on what these mechanics are, I don't think they even mentioned the types of mechanics. Just the fact that they have those out there, that they're thinking about them, really shows that they want this game to sort of evolve instead of just being you going out with one crew and playing with a couple people. It's more of a co-op with everybody in the world.
Right. And something they also mentioned with working together with other crews is I think they're going to maybe, what I interpret it as, new ways to communicate with other crews. So I don't know if like you're not going to be like matchmaked with them, but maybe you're able to like sign an in-game agreement. I don't know, like just something like, I think that'd be like really clever. Things like that. So that like, you know how like when you're talking to other crews, it's like, I guess, you know, you can switch it off like directional, but like you do have to be like close to them. And, you know, so I think new ways to communicate with other crews would be really fun and exciting. Just a new element in the game without literally creating something tangible. It's like just something that changes the game but doesn't change it at the same time, if that makes sense.
Right. It could be cool if it was like you jump into it with a galleon and three of your friends and you have a full galleon. And if you encounter someone on an island, they have a full galleon. If you could somehow combine the two crews where you have two ships, but you're part of the same crew, you're working together on these quests, like that could be really cool where you're now out together and maybe you encounter another group of eight who teamed up, and instead of just a 1v1 ship battle, it's now a 2v2 ship battle. Like something like that could be really cool and interesting to really change up how things are done right now.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I could see it going really well, something like that going really well or really bad, just depending on, you know, the type of people you encounter with. You know, I know you probably know this too, but like the people you encounter in this game sometimes could be super awesome, super friendly, like just chilling, and then sometimes they're like toxic or like just very offensive or rude. So you never know. I mean, that's kind of the part of the magic of this game, is like it's almost like a social experiment, these kinds of things. You know, if you're like at a skull fort and you work together with another person, it's like literally like you don't know this person at all, but you like have to convince them that you're gonna share the treasure with them and not kill them, and say, and you're gonna have to trust them. Like these things are just make the game really interesting psychologically to me. So this summer there's gonna be two major events or major content updates: Cursed Sails and Forsaken Shores. And Cursed Sails, I think the only thing they mentioned is that there's gonna be a new ship type. If I had to guess what this is, it would be like a three-person ship. But you never know. I mean, I think what they mentioned is that it's going to create like a new way to like play the game, I think, like, or I don't know, just something that's like custom, or I don't know, just something that like if you hop on another ship, like you're not going to like recognize it. I think it's tough to say. It's very vague. You never know. It could be a five-person ship. It could be another sloop kind of thing.
Right.
You just never know.
I mean, the three-man ship is probably what makes the most sense, just because that we have a two-man ship and a four-person ship. So go right in the middle with a three-man ship, probably two sails and like six cannons and two levels instead of three, like on the galleon. But it's just a new, like it's a new mechanic. I don't know. It's just something to change it up a little bit. It's not like game-changing, but it's just a new way to play the game.
Right. And I mean, it's a different, like sailing a galleon versus sloop, it is like the core is the same, but it's still different, right? So like I think a three person ship, or like maybe even, because a sloop could be for one or two people, maybe a solo, like a literally a solo sloop that's only one person can do. You never know. I kind of don't think they'll do a five or six person ship, just because I think that would be very overpowering to like a sloop. You know, I think a galleon and a sloop, like, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages either way, but traditionally, like, I think galleons still do have the advantage just based off manpower. I think a five to six might be just like too overpowered. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's kind of what, just speculate, this is all speculation, but
yeah,
you just never know. It could be another galleon, just like maybe the sails and the wheel are sort of oriented in different ways. You just never know. It could also mean that's what the legendary ship is going to be.
Oh, very true.
They didn't really specify. So I hope, like, because they already said there's going to be a legendary ship in another update. So I hope that's not what they were talking about. But, you know, I wouldn't, it's tough to say. I really have no hints on that.
I'd be disappointed if it turned out to be the legendary ship, because we already know that we're getting one. So if they're just teasing something that we already know we're getting, instead of actually adding a new dynamic to the game, that wouldn't be cool. But
I mean, think about the name. Like, it's called Cursed Sails, and there's going to be a new ship type. So, and when you think about cursed stuff in the game, you're thinking about, like, cursed chests, right? Like the Grog chest or the Weeping chest.
Right.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but...
The Chest of Sorrows, I think.
Yeah, Chest of Sorrows. Yeah.
In the Insider video,
you ever
though,
know Cursed Sails?
Joe Neat was talking about a thing called Cursed Cannonballs, which he didn't really go into much detail about, but that's probably coming with the Cursed Sails update. I'm not sure what that exactly means, Cursed Cannonballs, but they were kind of talking about how it would be a new a new item in the world just to add a little bit more variety. Because right now, if you encounter another ship, you're going, you know, they have cannonballs, planks, and bananas. But now, if you added this fourth item, you might, they kind of put it as like you might not know exactly what the ship has on board. So we'll see what that means. But I mean, yeah, new ship type, that's cool.
And so then the next summer update, and this is the last one that we have like a legit like theme for, is Forsaken Shores, which I think might be even more highly anticipated than the May one because it introduces a new part of the world to explore. And that will also include things that like are in the Hungering Deep, like new gameplay mechanics and new AI threats, unique rewards. So I think a new area to explore in the world. I really don't think it's just gonna be like new islands or something. Like, I think it's gonna be like something like really interesting, maybe like the Legendary Tavern. Not like the same like that, but just something that's just a, like separate than that, you know? I think that's really cool. I have no idea what that could be like right now.
I wouldn't necessarily be disappointed if it was new islands, but they would have to make it a different environment on the islands. Like if you were sailing up north and everything was frozen and you now have to navigate icebergs or like frozen sheets of ice on the water and all the islands
That'd
that
be
you go
cool.
on are like frozen and instead of like going in just caves, you're now going in like glaciers and ice caves, I guess, and looking around, and there's some sort of like ice enemy. Something like that is
That'd be
what
cool.
it doesn't
That's really
necessarily have to
interesting.
be ice, but it could be like could be even like a fire world or something like volcanoes and stuff like that. That's what I take away from a new part of the world and new AI threats. Like they'd have to go to a different like climate and change it up that way.
Like literally like a different region. And I think that's a really good point, and it kind of like makes me think like I wonder, you know, like when you think about like where the game's going to be 1 year today and stuff, you there's no way it's going to the map is going to exist the same way next year. Like I think it's going to be expanded in a certain way. Like I think like the map right now, I think a lot of people complain like it's too small. I'm kind of just like it's fine the way it is right now, but you know, I could see why people, you know, you kind of once you kind of go to the same islands like a bunch of times, it's sort of like I don't know, it's kind of annoying. But like I could see it just then having like maybe like a second map or something like that that's like just like sort of region based. So like you said, like maybe there's like Antarctica-ish sort of like region that you can go to if you sail like more, you know, east or more south or something like that. I think that would be really cool. Just something to kind of freshen it up, you know, new types of environments. So like, you know, the map that we're in right now, you know, it there's storms or it's like sunny, you know, a new sort of environmental world will be really cold or really warm. Just something that's sort of varying, without really changing much, you know. I think that'd be really interesting. You never know.
I think the overall mechanics can be the same between the these different regions, but there can definitely be like crossover. Like if you're in the current map and you pick up a Merchant Alliance voyage, you might have to go into the Forsaken Shore, whatever that is, and pick up or find something that's native to that area and then bring it back. And you could have some sort of system where the things from the other regions sell for more. In like the region that you came from. So if you go from the current map to the Forsaken Shore and sell a golden chicken there, it might be worth double. But if you bring like a yellow, I don't know, a yellow bird back from the Forsaken Shore, it's worth more in your current map. So you can have that crossover, and you can make it a little bit more treacherous for people to try and cross over from each region with the with cargo that they have. Some sort of mechanic to vary up the quest system as it is now.
I think that's pretty interesting. I could see that happening. I mean, Forsaken Shores, I could also just see it kind of being like just like some massive island or something they add to the map too. Like, you know, not like kind of similar to like a fort, but a little bit different than that. Just adding some big island that's sort of cursed or something like that. It's dangerous, sort of like a fort. I don't know. You never know. I think it's all like good thoughts, though.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. I hope it's something bigger than just like one island, because there's so much potential. Like, there's so much they can do with it. They can go in literally any direction, and I think people will be happy with what they come up with. But like to just do like one new island might be a little bit underwhelming.
Right, and you never know. Like, it seems like Rare definitely like hyped up, let's say, like the game and Pirate Legend, things like that, and people kind of feel like they underdelivered it at the launch. But like, as they sort of have said, that it's gonna be a game that's evolving over time, it's changing. You know, 1 year today, like, it's gonna be a completely different game, I think. With the core, three factions still in place, but I like we've kind of, like you said earlier, like, it's sort of vague. There are some sort of specific outlines, so we kind of know what we're expecting without knowing exactly what to expect. I mean, when most content updates like this happen, we don't really get much info until kind of right before, usually. So I think for like a content update roadmap, this was like a decent amount of information for something like this in video games.
Right, I agree, but they had to do this. They had to come out with this. Like, I mean, I think they could have come out with just the May update, and people would have been fine. They definitely would have started asking for more information, since May is so close. But coming out with the big roadmap for the rest of this year, they needed to do that in order to kind of save face. But people, for the most part, I think are happy with what Rare came out with so far.
Yeah, definitely. I think Rare, I really wasn't expecting this much personally, and I think they definitely over-delivered with what they said today. We don't know yet the actual content, so it's tough to say, but just trying to like unpack this. But it is tough to say, but I think they did over-deliver, and I think most people in the community are pretty stoked about what they've done. And I think they, like you said, like, they definitely had to do this just because, let's, people on Game Pass, a lot of them probably canceled it, and hopefully a lot of them converted, but to like actual sales for the game. But I do believe like Rare is genuinely interested, in like the forums and such, and they're legit like looking and stuff, and like they know, but there's a lot of bureaucracy, right? Like in these companies too, so it's not like just so easy as like some guy just being like, oh yeah, this is like what we're doing, because like, there's a lot of decision makers. There's a lot going on. I'm sure they have a bunch of different ideas of what they wanted to do in May, and maybe they just finally decided recently. So, depending on what they thought was the priority, what the easiest was to launch, and I think it's really cool that they're gonna do something in May next month. I'm very excited. I'm very curious, what they're gonna add.
It's a nice surprise to see that it's next month instead of June, 'cause that seems very, very quick for like a major update in a game like this. So, I mean, maybe Rare had this planned all along and at launch kind of held it back, which kind of sucks, but they're giving it to us like very early on. So, as long as they are true to their word and do what they say and deliver something that's legitimate and not kind of just a shell of what it should be or what it could be, I think they'll be fine. And I think as long as they just do that throughout this roadmap, things will be fine for this game.
Right, and the best part, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but they're all free updates. So they do not want to split the player base up, which is smart. However, on the contrary, which they didn't talk about in the video, is microtransactions. And I think they talked about June being like the launch for that, but they didn't mention anything in the video. I think it's kind of nice that they're not going to make people like pay, because like $60 is a lot to spend on the game for like, and what most people believe is like a little bit more than what they think the game is worth at this very point. But I think come like end of summer, hopefully by even sooner than that, people aren't going to feel like as, annoyed by the six, or mad about the $60, about this game. Just kind of like, that's not my personal opinion, but I know that's something that's kind of a hot topic in the community. But I think people are going to be really happy. I hope people are really happy with the game come, you know, this summer. And more people are going to be interested in buying it, because I'm sure a lot of people hear just the negatives and kind of don't want to get into it. But once they see what, like, Pirate Legend's going to be like, what these updates are going to be like, I think more and more people are going to get really excited about the game.
I think, and this is perfect timing too, because if people, like, stuck around on Game Pass for one more month, like, renewed after, like, a two-week trial, just had it to begin with and have stuck around for one more month, like, this is right in that time frame where they can get people excited again, because the game hasn't even been out for a month, so the Game Pass trial might not be up, or even if people stop playing on Game Pass, this is definitely a great incentive for them to come back and pick up the game, because they know that there's going to be content. Rare can't really go back on this and say, oh, we're not doing this many content updates. They've already announced it, like, that'd be a huge disaster for them. So people, the players know that they're going to get content now, and it's going to be worth it. So yeah, I'm very excited for May and the summer months.
Right. And it's tough. Like, I hope, you know, we're right on this. You know, it's a good problem to have in the gaming industry when there's just so many fun games to play. So, you know, I think this game has the, you know, has opportunity to really stand out, and hopefully people are going to get more and more into the game and more people getting excited. It's just, you know, good news for everyone playing the game. And I think, and they also mentioned that they're going to be changing some priorities. They mentioned this in the notes, is that they're going to be pushing out pets and ship capacity, captaincy, I think is what they said. I don't really know exactly what that means, but I know pets is something that people want, but you know, they're doing, I'm sure they're doing a lot of restructuring and prioritization changes with what they thought were the immediate concern, like immediate things that they want to do after the launch. But now they're sort of, I think they're prioritizing performance, just overall stability, and then just something that's like very fresh, not something small like pets, like something that's literally changing, improving, making the game more interesting rather than like pets, which is like fun, but not gonna like get people really excited to log on and stuff. So I think that's smart, personally.
And it just shows that they're listening to the players. In the insider video, Mike Chapman said he's gotten into this habit of scouring Reddit and reading all the forums to make sure he gets the full picture of what the people actually want. And I mean, pets are definitely not one of those things. They can be cool, but they're not game changing. But it's just nice to see that they're like trying to make these legitimate changes to the game, like to the way the game works, and to make it more sort of like a Destiny atmosphere. Like when I played Destiny 1, it was like the endless search for like all these things in the world, like hidden items, and there's all this lore behind it and all these like mysterious quests that you would go on that you didn't really know what you were doing, you just kind of had to figure it out. And that's kind of the vibe I get from the updates that they're coming out with. They're adding like the Skeleton Thrones, which I kind of equated to Destiny ghost hunting in the first one. If anyone's played Destiny 1, like the ghosts were scattered around the world and you would just have to find them. I kind of think it's the same, it might not be on the same scale, but it's the same idea where there's just these things in the world that you have to find, and it's kind of just adding this new layer to the game where it's not just a fetch quest game. There's going to be things to do. You can just run on an island and find something that you've never seen before. So that's really what's exciting me about this game, and I'm really glad that they're listening to the players and trying to make like actual changes that are going to keep people around for a while.
Yeah, and definitely. I think, yeah, like as you said, like exploring the islands, exploring the world, typically you don't really get rewarded for. I mean, like sometimes you'll stumble upon like some crazy cool chests, you know, on islands. It's very rare, but like sometimes you'll like stumble upon Chest of Sorrows, Chest of 1,000 Grogs. But typically, like when you explore the island, you don't really feel anything about it. I mean, sure, you'll find maybe a message in a bottle, you'll find some artifacts, but like it doesn't really, it doesn't have that feeling like where like you are encouraged to explore the islands. I mean, I remember like first playing, I was like, yo, like I'm sure most people aren't going to do this, but like I'm going to like walk around this island until I find something cool besides like the main voyage. And I think they definitely acknowledge this in the video that they're going to do a better job of rewarding players for exploration. That's just like an obvious thing that they should be doing. How should they be doing that? I'm not really sure. I mean, I think finding cool things that you normally don't get, sort of like those cursed chests, you know, maybe a different cursed chest. There's only two in the game. So just things like that just make the world more interesting and explorative, if that's a word.
That sounds right.
Just more explorable, I guess, would be cool.
They've already got a great system in place with like the cave systems and everything. So like it kind of exploration is like built into the game. It just hasn't been expanded upon yet.
Like, yeah, right. Like as an incentive or like reward system, there really isn't much. And I do like these unique rewards, like just being able to, you know, get things during like live weekly events. Cause I think what also like what we were talking about is like when you're exploring and finding items, like it'd be cool to find like a random, hook or like a random hat, pirate hat, something like that. Besides like collectibles, like, you know, like chests and skulls and chickens, things like that. Like finding like cosmetics around would be like really, really cool, I think, in my opinion. How would they implement that? Like, I mean, I'm sure it's not easy, but just something to look into, maybe. Maybe finding like an instrument, things like that. I think that'd be like really cool. I think it'd make players an easy way for them to explore more. Especially since like, you know, there aren't that many cosmetics in the game. There's only like a handful really to buy, like a handful of sets. So, like anything that rewards players and like gives them something like quote unquote for free without having to spend like, you know, gold on, I think makes players really happy. Even though it's not like real money, it's like really satisfying to get something without like, you know, using your like currency, especially because like holes and sales and things like that are like really expensive in the game. It takes a while to earn enough gold for those, for the right reason, right? It's an incentive, but still.
I love the idea of being able to find a random cosmetic on an island that like not that maybe only you have, that like a random hat, because I mean that's just like a really interesting way to like change up your character and really help everybody build the pirate legend that they want. But like, going back to that cave system I was talking about earlier, like every island, most islands have like pretty big cave systems, and like you can get something cool to happen if you're on like a riddle quest where you like raise your lantern or play a song and like something opens up, or like you continue the quest. But like there's like underwater caves on some islands. I think at like S16 there's an underwater cave. Like if you dive down, you can go in and find like some crazy like waterfall inside the island, like things like that they could definitely expand upon. Like they could use that as a basis for like the weekly event. Like if you have to work together with your crew to like figure out the riddle and go follow like some random cave that you find on an island, and at the end is like a really cool hat or like something like that that shows that you completed that event. And that it's kind of like the Destiny structure where instead of doing like the main storyline, you kind of veer off to this random room that's open, and at the end of it, it's like an exotic gun. It's sort of like the same idea where you end up with like an item that you can't buy. You have to get it by exploring and just playing the game, which I think is like the basis of this game and what it should be, just like that exploration factor.
Right. I remember my first couple of voyages. I'm like, dude, I found this cave. Like, and obviously it's like not that hard to find, you know, once you like actually play the game. But like, as I do, I found this cave. There's gotta be something in here. And like cave after cave, it's like, it's nothing, you know, like you find like, you know, interesting stuff, but like, it's not like, it's like, stuff you can actually like pick up and take with you. Yeah, totally. Like the caves there's definitely opportunity there to like make cool stuff to discover that you can like take with you on the boat, or, you know, whether it's like customizing your wheel or your steering wheel, or just like things like that. I don't know. Just things that like, consumables, different types of food maybe would be cool. It's tough to say, but yeah, I totally agree with you. Like the cave system definitely needs some improvements on like exploration and stuff like that.
Yeah, they have everything there. They just have to like do it, like make something meaningful. Because right now, if I log in, we could play for like three, four hours, get like 15 treasure chests, you know, like 10,000 gold, whatever, 15,000 gold. And that's cool. But like, if I want to play the game and I don't feel like doing the quests, I want to just be able to sail to an island and just run around for like 2 hours and be satisfied with my time spent there. Like, even if I don't find something at the end, like, I could still say I went on a really cool adventure and I found this random door in a cave that led me into this hideout of like an NPC who had like some lore for me, or gave me some like, I don't know, something cool, just like some backstory to it. And that could just be like a fun way to play instead of grinding out quests.
Dude, yeah, that's awesome. I think that's something that's completely missing in the game, is you really have to go on voyages to play the game pretty much right now. Like, unless you're just like relying to just battling other ships. I totally agree with that. I think that'd be awesome. Cause sometimes even like you might not have that much time. It's a hard game. So like, if you have like, you know, for most people who work, right? Like, you know, you get home, maybe you have like an hour or two to play, a night, if even, you know, it's a tough game to like, you really have to commit like at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I mean, like, it would be cool to be like, oh, I'm gonna jump on a ship and just kind of go to a couple islands and run around, explore and see what I can find and sign off, and like feel like you spent like quality time in the game. 100%.
Yeah, it's just something to think about that could definitely improve the game. It's like, it's pretty much there, but like one of these content updates, one maybe in the fall or winter, like I think these are like pretty substantial updates that they'd have to like spend a lot of time on. But I mean, I have faith in them. I think they could do something like that that really changes the game and adds a lot of value to it. Because that would give me like a lot of replay value, like a lot of replayability, and just build all these events around like the mystery on each island.
Right. I think before, you know, the last thing we kind of wanted to, we can kind of continue this conversation another time as well. I think it's really awesome. I think just something to kind of touch on, besides the content roadmap that we missed last week too, is some of the patch notes. I'm kind of curious what you think, Brian, about something that's really interesting that I didn't even think of really that they added is, I don't even know if you even realize this when we were playing earlier, which is what they say is a message from beyond. So when, you know, when you're in the Fairy of the Damned, you, right before that door, when you leave, there's like a note there, that you can read, and it reminds players that if their ship or crew is in a position that they want to get out of, so let's say like you're just being spawn killed or something like that, it reminds you that you can go to the menu, go to my crew, and then scuttle your ship so you can start in a new location. I'm kind of curious to hear what you think of like Rare kind of like sort of like reminding players or emphasizing to players that they can sort of do that.
I like it. I like that they're nudging us kind of in the direction that we might want to be going down in a time of distress in the game, where I'm not really thinking about that. I'm just like kind of upset that I'm being spawn killed or that someone's camping on my ship. I just want to like get a fresh start. I've never thought of that. When I've been in that situation, I've just kind of been like thinking about why am I dying so much?
You want to kill them.
Yeah. I just want to like,
you're like, you really want to get them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, and I think like people who, let's say you're on the other side, right? You're like sinking the ship and you're the spawn killer. Like, you're probably like, oh, dude, they scuttled the ship, like, lame. But, like, really, like, you kind of, like, quote-unquote won the battle, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's like a victory for you.
Yeah, and plus, you get all their stuff will, like, float to the top, too. Like, let's say if they're carrying, like, something. So, and on the contrary, the team that's being killed, like, sort of has, they're sort of reminded that, oh, like, we can just vote to scuttle the ship and, like, start a new location and kind of start fresh. Like, we lost, whatever, like, at least we're not just being killed over and over and over again and like can't even play the game. So I think it's kind of interesting. It's something I never really thought of. So whoever came up with that idea, you know,
props excellent. To them. Yeah.
And then the other kind of main update as well is weapon balancing. So they're reducing, and before I kind of say what it was, they said that by reviewing the data on player weapon choices and damage dealt, they made some balancing changes, and they're going to, you know, keep monitoring. But so they're going to reduce the blunderbuss damage and increase the eye of reach damage. The obvious reason is most people use the blunderbuss. It's sort of like the meta in the game, and no one uses eye of reach, from what I've seen, at least, pretty much.
It's just like, so, it's too hard to use. I think it's interesting. I mean, I think we don't even have statistics on the changes. Like, they could have reduced the blunderbuss damage by like 0.0001% or something. So like across like 1,000 shots, you do like 2 less damage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't really see a need for this. Like, eye of reach has its place in the game. Like, if I'm sailing by a ship, I might pull it out and try and snipe someone, but for most PvP combat, it's not useful at all. Just the way it works.
But like, I think it's okay. So maybe a blunderbuss. I'm guessing they didn't really decrease it by that much. But I think eye of reach definitely needed some type of increase, just because, right? Like, every time I use it, it doesn't feel like it's worth it, right? Like, you're just like, okay, I want a gun that shoots long range. Like, maybe you're trying to shoot skeletons from long range, like when you're on your ship. But like, I think it's nice so that, like, because obviously hitting a shot with the eye of reach is not, as you said, like, it's not easy usually, especially if you're moving or they're moving, because you have bullet drop and things like that. So I think it's really interesting, because like, if you're able to nail a shot like that, like, I think if you're in a PvP battle, ship versus ship, and you're able to hit someone with your eye of reach, like, it should be like a one or two shot, I think. Maybe not one shot, but maybe like 2 shots. But I think, you know, so.
Yeah, I could see that.
If you're able to hit somebody like that, like, I think, you know.
You should be rewarded for it.
I agree with that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think, but.
To your point about the skeletons, I've used it a couple times, like trying, like on an Order of Souls quest where you park right off the beach and the skeletons are right there. And I've used an eye of reach just to get some playtime with it, and it does not feel powerful at all. It's very, it might take like a whole clip to kill one skeleton. That's like 5 sniper shots. That doesn't really make any sense, especially if I'm hitting headshots. So, I mean, in that regard, it could definitely use a buff, but I don't think lowering the blunderbuss damage is really going to have like a inadvertent buff to the other ones, I guess, where the other ones start to get more playtime. I think blunderbuss is still the best gun to use, unless we had some like hard numbers that say like they lowered it enough to where like a pistol is as good now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, like, I think with a blunderbuss, it's like, I haven't really tested this, and I think people are like, oh, blunderbuss is better like PvE, but like pistol is better in PvP. I think like a blunderbuss probably has done like the same, if not maybe a little bit more than a pistol. But the problem with a blunderbuss is like, it's sort of like a big like range of, you know, a shot, right? Like unless you're like right up next to another pirate or a skeleton, you're right up against them, they're not going to be hit by the entire like blunderbuss, if that makes sense. You know, you're going to see other some of the shots kind of go off. With as a pistol, it's like you nail somebody, they get the whole bullet, as opposed to a blunderbuss is sort of like a spray, and unless you're like right up close to them, they're not going to be hit by the whole spray.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I just wish we had some like actual numbers on it, instead of like we've buffed it or we've decreased it. It'd just be nice to get like some actual values, even though in the game there are no like health values or anything. It's just 2-shot or 3-shot or whatever. I mean, we'll have to see. It's going to take a while probably for there to be any like real feedback on like if the blunderbuss is actually like becoming non-meta and the pistol rises to take its place or something like that.
Yeah, I think the blunderbuss is the meta right now. I'm not sure exactly after this update, but it's kind of still seems like that. And the last major update I wanted to just quickly discuss is servers like shutting down on people and like some people like losing progress. I think that's been an issue that people have pointed out as well. And they've said that they've corrected an issue where players, they used to receive very little warning, and now players should receive a minimum of 30 minutes before a server shutdown. But their main objective is still to ensure that server shutdowns only happen during scheduled maintenance. So, I mean, I think that's just like a no-brainer. Servers should not be shutting down on players. And yeah, schedule, like that makes sense, schedule maintenance. But besides that, a server should not shut down on a player. And I hope that's, you know, an issue that's no longer happening, hopefully.
I haven't had that happen to me, and but I've seen pictures on Reddit of people with a Skull Fork key in their hand and a note in the top left saying server will be shutting down in 2 minutes. So I mean, you literally have no chance if you spent like 2 hours on the Skull Fork and all you're about to get all the rewards from it, and all of a sudden the server shuts down. I mean, I'd be turned off from playing the game for probably a while. I saw a couple tweets today from Eddie Monster and Gathalion talking about bugged legendary quest and server shutting down in the middle of the quest. Like, that's just a really unfortunate situation that no one should have to deal with, because that just sucks to like put in all this work, especially for the streamers. If they put in like 10 hours and then the server shuts down and they get no rewards from it, like that really sucks. So I mean,
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we're talking about for the April updates, right? Is like trying to ensure that like just the basic stuff doesn't happen. Like if this happens, and yeah, especially for like these guys who like play the game, you know, a lot, right? They do it for a living. It's super annoying, and I think for me, like if I as someone for me, let's say like a person who doesn't, you know, game for a living, who plays like maybe a handful of hours a week, who's, you know, has a job, whatever. Like, and like I'm like, okay, like tonight, like I have a couple hours, I'm gonna do like three voyages, and like by the end, if like the server shuts down on me, like, you know, a lot of people might, you know, would probably just not play the game again because it's just so frustrating. So, for like the average person, like that can't happen, right? When you're only able to play like, you know, handful of hours a week. So that's a no-brainer. That should be like highest priority in my opinion. But we'll see. I mean, it seems like April is the month where they gotta fix all this stuff before we get major content updates, which will hopefully not bug the game further, you know. When you have updates in any type of, you know, tech or software, updates are gonna bring about new bugs. So, you know, let's solidify the base and then kind of move forward with the content updates. So, you know, we'll see. But I think that's gonna wrap it up. It's a long episode today. Thanks so much if you stuck to the end. We really appreciate it. You can find us on all the podcast sites: Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at LandhoPod. You can tweet us. You can also email us at landhopod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful week.